Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schumann. How are we doing today?
Doing great. Excited about the show, bro.
Yeah, me too. Amen, amen. Also with us, the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today, bro?
I am blessed.
Well, praise the Lord. We told you guys we're going to do part two, and I know we're definitely going to do part two. I know Joe's kind of chomping at the bit at doing part three, because we do believe this is important. And guys, there, I wish you could see the notes.
But I'm going to go a little fast today, guys.
Yeah, he's gonna go pretty quick. So we're going to get in a few things right away. We talked last episode a little bit about 1 Timothy 1 and 2 Timothy 2, specifically speaking about Hymenaeus and what we are calling the Hymenaean heresy. And we're going to deal with that specifically. And one of the things we were talking about was the fact that in 1 Timothy 1, it specifically mentions that these men have shipwrecked their faith. And that mentions Hymenaeus and Alexander.
Yeah.
Okay? So they had shipwrecked their faith. And Joe went into a number of texts, including the end of 1 Timothy, chapter 6 specifically, talking about falsely called knowledge. And then Tony...
That was falsely called gnosis, right?
Falsely called knowledge, as it may be in your Bible. And Tony, I'm going to have you read now from 2 Timothy 2.
All right, 2 Timothy 2, 15 through 18. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. But avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus.
Now wait for it, guys. What are they teaching? What's the false teaching they teach?
Men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and they upset the faith of some.
So, what do we have here, Joe? We have a dual problem here when it comes to the resurrection. A problem of timing and a problem of nature.
That's
and I know Joe went over that a ton last episode. And right after the episode, I was telling him, hey, I read Against Heresies while we were in Israel. I actually put it on my phone. And there were certain things that really just stuck out to me. I was like, whoa. And one of the men he talked about specifically was Simon Magnus. And I said, man, I remember reading about Simon Magnus, Irenaeus specifically exposing some of that doctrine. And you said, hey, not only Simon Magnus, and this is what it says about him, by the way. So you guys don't think, oh, where are they getting this idea that they were teaching Gnostic ideas? Well, I would get it from the early church. Simon Magnus, this is what in Against Heresies, Irenaeus writes, he said, in fine, they have a name derived from Simon, the author of these most impious doctrines, being called Simonians, and from them, quote, knowledge falsely so called. So,
that's right.
Guys, he is literally quoting the text. Irenaeus is quoting the text that Joe mentioned in the first episode regarding this false doctrine, regarding how they shipwrecked their faith, and the fact that it had to do with Gnosticism and some of the things that the very early church was fighting against.
That's right.
Some of the biggest warnings. Guys, Simon Magnus, according to Irenaeus, Claudius Caesar built him a statue and honored him because of the account of his magical power. He then made himself, supposedly, the Trinity. He said that he was the Son when he appeared to the Jews, that he was the Father when he appeared to Samaria, and that he was the Holy Spirit when he appeared to all the nations. And then as Joe spoke about specifically, and he's probably going to get a little deeper into this, his disciple was Menander. And Menander, as Joe spoke about, did what with the resurrection? He, quote, from Irenaeus, for his disciples obtained the resurrection by being baptized into him. So once again, we have the nature of the resurrection being nature and timing.
That's right.
Once again, being absolutely.
He taught that their resurrection was their baptism into him. Menandrianism, that's what it's called. Menandrianism, or the Menandrians. I know there's a lot of strange terminology.
Word.
But Menandrians, they basically were a Gnostic group that split off because he was the disciple of Simon Magus. And Simon Magus went his own way, or his group, I should say, during what was called the Gnostic Schism in the first century there, the latter part there. And Menander called his part of the sect Menandrians. And as I mentioned, when we're reading that there were false teachers like Hymenaeus and Philetus teaching that the resurrection had come to pass, I was letting you know it was very likely the form incipient Gnosticism, because they were shipwrecking the faith of some in 1 Timothy, and then Paul gets back to false teachers at the end of 1 Timothy, warning that there's those that are falsely teaching that which is called, they're teaching that which is falsely called gnosis. That's when the Gnostics took their name, the Greek words, a great neat word for knowledge, but they twisted it into a specific occult version of knowledge. And sure enough, in the next epistle, Paul's dealing more specifically with this kind of doctrine, where they're denying that they're stating that the resurrection had already come to pass. Why is it timing in nature? Because there's false doctrine regarding timing. It's already happened. It hadn't already happened. And regarding nature, because they claimed it was, most likely they claimed it was a spiritual resurrection, and that's all there was regarding the Christian hope. In fact, it wasn't a hope anymore. It already happened. Which, if we've got a resurrection, we're in sad shape, folks, because our bodies are dying. It's not a very good one then. But there's obviously a future resurrection. The Apostle Paul talked about that. Now, this has a lot of ramifications for today, because you have a growing movement in prophecy, which is really non-prophecy, it's a prophecy, you know, the negation of prophecy, called preterism. Full preterism actually takes your eyes off of the Word of God and what Jesus said to be focused on. In fact, Jesus' longest sermon wasn't the Sermon on the Mount, as long as that was. It was the Olivet Discourse, when you put all the passages together, the Olivet Discourse, and he warned us to watch for the signs of the times. And he warned, in fact, John wrote the book of Revelation in the 90s. In fact, Irenaeus, the most celebrated of the church fathers, he's right up there with the top church fathers, he talks about how the apostle John wrote it during the time of Domitian's reign, which was in the 90s. That was long after 70 AD when the full preterist says the end came. The full preterist says the end of the age, Christ came back, the resurrection, all that happened just a couple decades after Jesus died, a few decades in 70 AD. John the Apostle writes of the upcoming resurrection in Revelation chapter 20 in the 90s. Obviously, it hadn't happened yet. So it's important that we understand this, because these heresies and the Hymenaean heresy, in fact, most Christians, theologians and so forth, regard it as a damnable heresy, because if you deny the resurrection of Christ, you're denying a cardinal orthodox doctrine of the Christian faith. In fact, the preterists, the full preterists, they deny that Jesus Christ is coming back in glory. They deny the second coming of Christ, where he's coming back in the flesh. I've never heard a full preterist say, oh yeah, he's still coming back in his resurrected body. But Jesus said he was, said every eye would see him. So let's look at this, because this is serious stuff. And we want you guys to know the truth. And we love getting into the scriptures. What does the text say? What was going on in church history? What was the context? How does it relate to today? And if you just bury the Word of God in your heart, just as we taught just recently in regard to, you know the counterfeit by becoming conversant with the original article. We need to know the scripture. By the way, the Menandrians, they influenced, and Simon the sorcerer, who became, Simon Magus, who became a leader in the among the Gnostics, according to the church fathers, they influenced the cults of the Gnostic cults, and the leaders like Basilides and Hippocrates and Valentinus, who led the Valentinians, which were the most popular Gnostic group of the second century. The false prophetess Marcellina was influenced by Menander and so forth. So, and who knows how much it could have been, because this was in Ephesus, where John was dealing with a lot of Gnostic heresy, because Paul leaves them in Ephesus and he's concerned. Remember in Acts chapter 20, Paul says he's weeping. He's wept for a few years, because at times he's preaching, he's weeping, because he says God has shown him that when he leaves the church at Ephesus, that there's going to be heretics that are going to rise up and lead the flock astray, even from among their own elders, he says. And who knows? I don't know if Hymenaeus had been an elder or not, but Philetus, but we know this, that prophecy came to pass, because that was there in Ephesus. And Ephesus is where John was dealing with the spirit of Antichrist. where he's dealing with Cerinthus and so forth. Very interesting when you think about it. And Paul's dealing with that, which is falsely called gnosis. This is all very, very important, you guys. So its ramifications for today. You fast forward, and the Gnostics taught the doctrine, the idea that God only truly predetermined and wanted certain people, a certain elect group, you know, to be saved. And that's what the Gnostics taught that. It's being taught by a lot of Calvinists today. Many of the covenant theologians that believe in covenant eschatology, as they call it, believe that in full preterism, that the resurrection has come to pass. Another Gnostic doctrine. I just think it's interesting how you could draw a line from the heresies of the early church to today. But I want to refute some of these things. First of all, in 1 John 4:1-6, it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Look at what happened. We're talking about a lot of them right now. "By this you know that the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus Christ is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that is coming and now is already in the world." Why would Satan and the spirit of Antichrist deny that Christ has come in the flesh? Because they don't want people to be saved. And Satan wants people to believe in his man, the coming Antichrist. So they don't want you to believe that Jesus is fully God and fully human. And so they divide Christ from Jesus. That's what the Gnostics did. It's a heresy known as Docetism. Docetism is the idea that Jesus, you know, didn't really partake of human flesh. He became more like a phantom, you know. He appeared to be flesh, or he just simply, the Christ spirit rested upon the flesh. It's interesting, and against heresies, I was looking at against heresies recently as well, and Book 5, chapter 31, we have under a heading about the resurrection. The heading, "The preservation of our bodies is confirmed by the resurrection and ascension of Christ." Did you catch that? This is Irenaeus talking long after 70 AD, brothers and sisters, in the second century, you know, 100 years later or so. And the heading is, "The preservation of our bodies is confirmed," talking about in the resurrection, that there's a physical future resurrection we're looking forward to. And the early church fathers were coming against the Gnostic heretics who were teaching that the resurrection had already come to pass, or that it was just spiritual, or there was no future resurrection. "The preservation of our bodies is confirmed by the resurrection and ascension of Christ." Irenaeus states, "The souls of the saints during the intermediate period are in a state of expectation of that time when they shall receive their perfect and consummated glory." Speaking of the physical resurrection, he goes on to state, we read, "For the heretics, despising the handiwork of God," meaning the physical body, "and not admitting the salvation of their flesh," meaning the resurrection, "while they also treat the promise of God contemptuously, how can they be wondered at if, again, they know nothing of the plan of the resurrection?" You could also read where Tertullian comes against the Gnostics for denying the resurrection, Hippolytus for denying the resurrection of the flesh. Some of these guys were teaching they were already resurrected. I'm trying to remember which church father it was. I think it was Irenaeus, because he mocks him and says, "You guys are suffering ulcers and everything else, and you call this the resurrection?" You know? Crazy. Interesting. So, as I mentioned, Hippolytus as well. Now, listen to this diabolical rubbish. I went to a neo-Gnostic site, Madame Blavatsky's site, the founder of Theosophy. This is on helenblavatsky.org. And I knew it. I just thought, I'm going to go to their site and see what they say about the resurrection. And guess what? They're going to just spiritualize it away. It says, "The resurrection celebrated every year during a Christian Easter is available to all human beings and can be experienced anytime in one way or another." So it's just something that you can just experience one way or another. It's complete spiritual liberation, the definitive enlightenment reached only by great sages after they tread like Jesus. And she goes into reincarnation could be a resurrection, you know, and so forth. Goes into saying things like, on a smaller scale, what you experience resurrections all the time. It goes on to say, at the very end of that article, "The rest taken during a night or a weekend is like a resurrection." So, you know, this is what the Gnostics teach. They don't want the resurrection of our physical body. Satan hates the fact that Jesus died for us. He hates the fact that we could be resurrected. And it's really heartbreaking. Now, how is it that the hope is destroyed? And brothers and sisters, I didn't realize how much work I'd done on this. And I was just dealing with the Hymenaean heresy. And I told the brothers, I typed out 24 pages, you know. And I was like, man, we could actually do more than two episodes. But I want to mention, hit some highlights really quick. Because if you sink your teeth into what the Word of God teaches about our future resurrection, you won't ever be deceived with regard to the Hymenaean heresy. And Paul says they were destroying the hope of some, you know, they were upsetting the faith of some. And obviously it's grown since then. That was incipient Gnosticism. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul warns about false teaching, stating specifically, "Now, brethren, concerning coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him," that's the rapture, "we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind," seismos, like a spiritual earthquake, "or troubled, either by a spirit," that would be a demon, "or by a letter," that would be a false, a counterfeit letter, or somebody twisting Paul's words, "as from us, as though the day of Christ had come." And don't be deceived to think that the day of Christ has come. The King James says, "is at hand." The Greek word right there can actually be translated, "has come to be at hand," or "has come." And that would be the idea that somehow they missed the second coming of Christ. He doesn't want them to be deceived. "Let no one deceive you by any means. For that day," what day? Christ coming to gather us together, the rapture. He says, "will not come unless the fallen away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." So he warns us not to think that the rapture had already come, or was going to come, before the fallen away and the Antichrist. Why? Because if you think it's come when it hasn't come, you're going to lose your what? You're going to lose your blessed hope. He doesn't want that to happen. So you need to keep your eyes fixed on the future events, which preterists deny. They deny a coming fallen away. They deny the coming of the Antichrist, sitting in the temple of God. They deny a second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to defeat the Antichrist. They destroy hope. And Paul's concerned that there'd be a seismos. He even warns that demons could be behind it. Back to Gnosticism, right? Well, check this out. The Jehovah's Witness website. Guess what? They deny the physical resurrection of the body. They also deny that Jesus Christ is coming physically. In fact, they don't believe he rose physically. They believe that when he had a physical body after the resurrection, it was a fake body to deceive the disciples to think that he rose again. They state, "many people are aware that the Bible promises the resurrection of the dead. And if that is to mean a reuniting of loved ones under happy conditions, they agree that it surely would be wonderful. But the idea that this involves a raising up of the same body," says Jehovah's Witnesses, Hymenaean heresy, guys, "made of the same atoms that were in it before, makes some sincere persons question the whole matter." Really? God made everything out of non-atoms. You know, he made everything from nothing. Can't make us again from atoms? "The promise, I believe, the resurrection of the body," this JW article, Watchtower, Jehovah's Witnesses, "is a part of the so-called Apostles' Creed, said to be a common bond of Greek, Roman, and evangelical Christendom, which states that there'd be a resurrection of the body." The article goes on to state, conclude, quote, "far from teaching the resurrection of the body, the Bible states, and Jehovah's Witnesses believe, that when a soul is dead, it really is dead. This means the resurrection of the soul or a whole person." In other words, the resurrection is just a spiritual resurrection, like
just Hymenaeus, like Jesus taught, was, according to
them, right? Witness, and yeah, just like the preterists teach regarding our resurrection, saying it was just spiritual, it already came to pass. In fact, they teach the Jehovah's Witnesses, as you guys know, that Jesus Christ did return. They predicted he'd come in 1914.
Yeah.
They said he was going to come bodily. Their doctrine wasn't off. It was off, way off, but it wasn't off in regard to denying his bodily return, bodily, yeah, right? And when he didn't come bodily, they said, "oh, he did come. You missed it. It was just invisible." Even though Jesus said every eye would see him in Revelation or Matthew 24, he'd be like lightning shining from the east to the west. Jesus, when he ascended, do you remember what happened in Acts chapter 1, guys? What did they see? They saw him physically ascend up into a cloud. And what did the angels say? They said, "men of Galilee, why do you stand looking in the sky? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven." They watched him go visibly. He said, coming back, these angels said, in the same way he left,
guys. Step his feet on the Mount of Olives, like Zechariah said.
That destroys full preterism, man. Yeah. That destroys full preterism. So that's why we're warned in 2 John 1, 7 through 9, "for many deceivers have gone out of the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ coming in the flesh." Catch that? They don't acknowledge Jesus Christ coming in the flesh. "This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Watch yourselves, that you do not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ." That's what Gnostics do. They claim, "oh, we have this extra secret gnosis," and they go too far. They go beyond the scriptures, guys. Does not have God. I'm not saying that full preterists, by the way, are Gnostics, although I'm saying they're receiving a very similar teaching. It's serious. "The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds." By the way, and I just thought this was so interesting, when you look at John warning about those who would deny that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh in 1 John, it's speaking of his incarnation when he, the Gnostics that denied that he was born as the Word that became flesh, right? But it's interesting in 2 John 1, 7 through 9, because these false teachers are not just teaching that, but he adds a nuance to their teaching. If they deny Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh is not aorist or past tense. It's a present active participle, present tense. Present active participle. So the confession is in the present tense. The Greek expositors, or the expositors of the Greek New Testament, I was checking out on this, says that part of the confession is that, quote, the continuous manifestation of the incarnate Christ. So because it's in the present tense, it's emphasizing that Christ didn't just come in the flesh, but that the false teachers, the Antichrist teachers, deny the continuous manifestation of the incarnate Christ. So Jesus rose from the dead bodily, and we're to rise as well bodily. I think this is very, very important that we get this. Now, think about this, guys. These parallels are really, really scary because this covenant eschatology believer, this preterist that believes in that we already received our resurrection states, quote, when I first began my own study of covenant eschatology, and I was listening to this guy on YouTube actually teach this with another guy, one of the very first things I had to understand in my own heart and mind was how I could believe what I was seeing and correlate that and harmonize that with Paul's statement in 2 Timothy chapter 2 concerning Philetus and Hymenaeus, who say that the resurrection had passed already. It took me a good little while to completely understand the framework and the context of which Paul was making a statement. In other words, that scripture hit him like, what am I doing? This is a heresy. It looks like a heresy. What? And how do I get around this? And then, you know what? He said, I believe, you know, they were teaching the resurrection that had already come to pass. But the resurrection came to pass in 70 AD. So when they were teaching that, it hadn't really come to pass yet. Because 70 AD hadn't come because Paul was still alive. So when 70 AD came, now it is come to pass. I thought, Lord God, please. My heart was grieved. I'm like, please help this guy. He's still teaching the same error. If Chad comes in next week and says, I believe the resurrection came to pass, and it happened last Tuesday. And then I say, Chad, you got to repent of that. And he does. Tony comes in and says, I believe the resurrection already came to pass, and it happened last Wednesday. I go, you're believing the same thing Chad believed. No, that's not the heresy, Chad, because I believe it happened on Wednesday. It's still the same heresy, you know. So anyway, hopefully you guys followed that. Anyways, Paul doesn't challenge, he says, the concept of the nature of the resurrection, but rather the timing of it wrong. He's stating that their timing is wrong, and obviously the nature has to be wrong because it's a physical resurrection. Now, this is what these guys did. I'm listening to these two guys on YouTube, and they're citing Romans 6, 9, and 10, and Colossians 2, 11, and 12, and Ephesians 2, saying, look, Paul says, you know, when we're born again, you know, we're spiritually raised from the dead. And guess what? We do believe. All Christians that know their Bibles teach that you have to be regenerated. Jesus said you can't, you know, enter the kingdom of God unless you're born again. All Christians understand that know the Bible, that they're born again, they've been resurrected spiritually. That's speaking of when Christ comes to live in us. That's not speaking of our physical resurrection. The Bible still speaks of a coming physical resurrection. And I was blown away that these guys were using these scriptures. Why? You know why? Because guess what? Wait a minute. I thought it happened in 70 AD. How come they're using scriptures that talk about us being born again when we come to faith? Has nothing to do with 70 AD, those texts. But then they want to say, oh, well, it happened in 70 AD. It's like, no, it didn't. Paul wrote before 70 AD. He's talking about those believers who already experienced a spiritual resurrection before 70 AD. Can't be referring to what the preterists are referring to. And the same apostle went on to speak about a physical resurrection. By the way, when I witness the Jehovah's Witnesses and they deny that Christ has risen from the dead, I'll take them to John chapter 2, verses 18 through 21. And they ask, you know, Jesus, what sign will you show us, you know? And he says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll rise it up. And they're like, well, it took 46 years to build this temple. And it says that Jesus was speaking of the temple of his body. So Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll rise it up. John chapter 2, 18 through 21, because they deny that he rose bodily. And I say, what temple was he talking about rising up? And then they're like, I'll point out, look at verse 20 and 21. He spoke of the temple of his body. It speaks of his physical resurrection, brothers and sisters. So Jesus rose physically, and it's important that we understand that. In fact, in Luke chapter 24, after the resurrection, verses 36 through 43, Jesus appears to his apostles. They're tripping out. They're like, they can't believe they're seeing Jesus. He rose from the dead. And they're thinking, and they get scared because it says that they thought they were seeing a spirit. And it says, he said to them, this is verses 36 through 43, He said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. Touch me and see, for a spirit, says Jesus, a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they still could not believe it because of their joy and amazement, he said to them, have you anything to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Why do you think he took it? Why do you think he ate? Because he was hungry then? He's probably a little hungry. I don't doubt that. But guess, he's got a resurrected body. I don't think they necessarily have to eat. But guess what? He wants to let them know, hey, guess what? I'm in a resurrected human body. And remember the doubting Thomas, chapter 20 of the Gospel of John, verses 26 through 28? Jesus tells him to stick his fingers into his wounds, and Thomas falls down. He says, my Lord and my God, literally the Lord of me and the God of me. All this is really, really important, guys, to understand. We read about the physical resurrection over and over and again, and to deny that it's a physical resurrection is to just deny very clear scriptures. In Matthew 27, 51 through 53, after Jesus died for our sins, and he rose, we read in verses 51 and 53 that bodies rose up from the tombs and went into the city and showed themselves alive as evidence that Jesus was the Christ. In fact, it's interesting. We can go on and on and on with those passages. But I think one thing I want to point out to you guys is there's passage after passage and scripture after scripture that says when Jesus returns that our bodies will be like his. Well, we already saw that Jesus rose again physically, right? We already saw that he rose again from the dead, right? Well, listen to what the scriptures say. We know he has a physical body. He said, see my hands, see my feet. He ate. Well, guess what the scriptures say? That your body is going to be like his when he returns. In fact, in 1 John 3:2, it says, beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him just as he is. We're going to be like him. He's got a resurrected physical body. Philippians 3:21 says that Christ will transform our lowly body, that's your physical body, guys, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. And Romans chapter 8 says that he will give life to our mortal bodies. Over and over and over again, we see this, these prophecies, these scriptures of this physical resurrection that we're going to experience, and our bodies are going to become like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is so important, guys, because wrong doctrine leads to wrong living. And I wrote down, it says actually their doctrine would spread like gangrene. So even though they'd upset the faith of some, it says that it would spread like cancer, depending on the translation. The NET Bible has, and their message will spread its infection like gangrene. Well, guess what? That doctrine is spreading today. It's known as full preterism. It's among the Gnostics as well. The King James says, and their message will spread like cancer. The JMST version, that's the Joseph Michael Schimmel translation, says, quote, their diabolical message will spread like a deadly flesh-eating disease. That's what it basically is saying, guys. So I want to encourage you guys to stand fast in the truth, stand against these false teachings, stick with Jesus, because stay away from, you know what? Spend a lot of time in the Word of God and test everything that we say, because people are being led astray left and right. And we always want to stand in the truth, walk in the truth, live in the truth. We're looking forward to his return. We're looking forward to the blessed hope of the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby he's going to come and every eye is going to see him. We're going to be caught up to meet him in the air, and we're going to receive these glorious bodies that are made like unto his glorious body. We hope to see you. Pray for those people who are teaching these false teachings that they'd repent. Pray for those who are listening to them so that less people be lost and more people will see Jesus when he returns. We love you guys. Press on in Jesus. God bless you.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.